ओम नमो भगवते
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text number 43. Correct?
Text number 43.
43. So, yeah. You have it? Okay. As a translation, O Krishna, please repeat.
O Krishna.
O friend of Arjuna.
O friend of Arjuna.
O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni.
O chief among the descendants of Vrishni.
You are the destroyer of those political parties.
You are the destroyer of those political parties.
Which are disturbing elements on this earth.
Which are disturbing elements on this earth.
Your prowess never deteriorates.
Your prowess never deteriorates.
You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode.
You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode.
And you descend to relieve the distresses.
You descend to relieve the distresses.
Of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees.
Of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees.
You possess all mystic powers.
All
and you are the preceptor of the entire universe.
And you are the preceptor of the entire universe.
You are the Almighty God.
You are the Almighty God.
And I offer you my respectful obeisances.
And I offer you my respectful obeisances.
Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
O Sri Krishna.
O Sri Krishna.
Krishna Sakha.
Krishna Sakha.
O friend of Arjuna.
O friend of Arjuna.
Vrishni,
Vrishni,
of descendants of Vrishni,
of descendants of Vrishni,
Rishabha,
Rishabha,
O chief,
O chief,
Avani,
Avani,
the earth,
the earth,
Dhruk,
Dhruk,
rebellious,
rebellious,
Rajanyavamsha,
Rajanyavamsha,
dynasties of the king,
dynasties of the king,
Dahana,
Dahana,
O annihilator,
O annihilator,
Annapavarga,
Annapavarga,
without deterioration of,
without deterioration of,
Virya,
Virya,
prowess,
prowess,
Govinda,
Govinda,
O proprietor of Goloka Dham,
O proprietor of Goloka Dham,
Go,
Go,
of the cows,
of the cows,
Vija,
Vija,
the brahmanas,
of the brahmanas,
Sura,
Sura,
the demigods,
the demigods,
Artihara,
Artihara,
to relieve distress,
to relieve distress,
Avatara,
Avatara,
O Lord who descends,
O Lord who descends,
Yoga Ishvara,
Yoga Ishvara,
O Master of all mystic powers,
O Master of all mystic powers,
Akila,
Akila,
universal,
universal,
Guru,
Guru,
O preceptor,
O preceptor,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
O possessor of all opulences,
O possessor of all opulences,
Namaste,
Namaste,
respectful obeisances unto you,
respectful obeisances unto you,
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Rishabhavanat, no wait, Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishni Rishabhavani Druk.
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishni Rishabhavani Druk.
Rajanya Vamsa Dahanana Pavarga Virya.
Rajanya Vamsa Dahanana Pavarga Virya.
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara.
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara.
Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishnishabhavani Dhruv.
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishnishabhavani Dhruv.
Rajanya Vamsa Dhananapa Pavarga Virya.
Rajanya Vamsa Dhananapa Pavarga Virya.
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara.
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara.
Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Shri Hare Krishna, Krishna, Sakavishni, Vishabhavani Jum.
Shri Krishna, Krishna, Sakavishni, Vishabhavani Jum.
Rajanyavamsha Dhananapavargavirya.
Rajanyavamsha Dhananapavargavirya.
Surati Haravatara
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara
Yogeshwara Akiva Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Yogeshwara Akiva Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Sri Krishna Krishna Saka Vrishni Vrishabhavani Dhrug
Sri Krishna Krishna Saka Krishna Vishabhavani Dhruv
Rajanya Vamsa Dahananana Pavarga Virya
Rajanya Vamsa Dahananana Pavarga Virya
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara
Yogeshwarakhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Yogeshwarakhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Rishabhavani Dhrud
Sri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Rishabhavani Dhrud
Rajanya Vamsa Dhanana Pavarga Virya
Rajanya Vamsa Dhanana Pavarga Virya
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara
Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara
Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Vishabhavani Dhur
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Vishabhavani Dhur Rajanya Vamsa Dahanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vrishna
Rishabhavani Dhrud Rajanya Vamsa Dahana Anapavarga Virya
Govinda
Godvija Surati Haravatara
Yogeshwara
Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Purport A summary of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kundi Devi. The Almighty Lord has his eternal transcendental abode where he is engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. He is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim his devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administration work. He creates, maintains, and annihilates by his unlimited energies, and still he is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the brahmins, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of his special attention because they are very important factors for the general welfare of living beings. Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sakrajata Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Api
Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurabani Prasarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Chaparine
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale
Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Namine Sri Vaishnavanadi Devi Tayataya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhade Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Primadya Shri Rupanura Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigraya Namostite
Namaste Gauravani
Shri Murtaye Niratharine Rupanura Vigrithapa Siddhanta Mandaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Viprarambhaya Sambhode Chidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhumestvam Nirdesha Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Shri Jayanathayate Namaha Pancha Kalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Bhaktam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktayam Namami Bhakta Shakitam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sunato Pangor Mahamandra Bhagirgati Masarvasa Padambojo Radha Madana Bohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumaha Srima Ratnakara Simhasanasto Srima Radha Srila Govinda Devo Krishna Divi Seva Mano Smarami Srima Namasara Sarambi Vamshiva Tata Kasita Karshande Nusvaner Gopir
Rishabhava Nidruk Rajanya Vangsha Dahanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravatara Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. Prabhupada noted that Krishna comes, of course, to kill the demoniac elements and to foster the devotion of the devotees. And as I was saying, Prabhupada noted that Krishna did a lot more killing than he did other types of activities. If you look in the Krishna book, oftentimes I thought it was funny because we present the Krishna book as, you know, like short stories sometimes. Yeah, about peace and harmony. And then when you open the book, Krishna's killing left and right, erecting the Dwarka fort. There's a story about how Jarasandha, who was an enemy of Krishna's and wanted to come in, he came and attacked him, actually, altogether 18 times. And, of course, the first time he came to attack Krishna, Krishna saw that Jarasandha had come with a huge army. There's a certain number of akshohinis. There's, in military science, there are numbers of soldiers and elephants and chariots which are combined together to make up certain types of configurations like an akshohini. And he had many, many of those that he brought with him to fight Krishna. And when he came to Mathura to fight Krishna with those soldiers and, you know, with his prowess as a fighter, Krishna and Balaram were there the first time together and saw that they were coming. And out of outer space, a chariot appeared for Krishna and one for Balaram, equipped with all kinds of weapons and beautifully effulgent. Of course, this is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he wants to fight, he just thinks about it, and then the chariots appear, and all the weapons are available. And there was a mighty fight between these huge armies of Jarasandha, and of course, Krishna had his armies also. It was remarkable in the history of warfare, however, that at the end of this fight, not one of Krishna's soldiers was harmed in any way. Nor, of course, was Krishna and Balaram, although at some time during the fight, it looked as if the sun, sometimes it becomes eclipsed or covered over by clouds or covered by another planet. Krishna and Balaram, and they're fighting. There were so many soldiers on the side of Jarasandha that it looked as if Krishna had been eclipsed and no one could see him. And those devotees who were watching the fight and became overwhelmed with some kind of lamentation and fear that Krishna had been defeated. But then just as the sun emerges from behind the clouds, then again they became joyful. There's a kind of a rasa that Krishna enjoys with his devotees and chivalry, where he's a great hero. You know, as we in this world enjoy hearing stories, you know, one of the genre of films here that's very popular in America and probably in India and many other countries as well, is the, what do they call it, action films? Where, you know, there's a Rambo, everyone's probably heard of Rambo by now, unfortunately, that, you know, there's one man who's so powerful and so trained in every kind of military science and weapon and psychology that he can go all over the world. Of course, Rambo wasn't particularly psychologically inclined, I don't think, but they probably made him out like that. There are other characters that do have that as well. You know, maybe James Bond. I mean, if you go down the list, the archetypal hero in these action films is just someone that everyone just admires because
he's so strong, and he's always in the right place at the right time, and knows how to throw a karate chop and be right, just in the right place and paralyze the guy. And you know, everyone's hankering for that. And then, of course, there's chase scenes, and the bad guy looks like he's down or he's in prison, and then he knows how to use a nail to unlock the whole prison and get out, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's endless how many hours of these action films there are, and chases and fights, and finally he comes out victorious. But with Krishna, he's the origin of that. It's actually true. Those are a little disappointing, because then when you see Rambo in person, he was at one point, I think when the during the Afghanistan war or something, they asked him to go overseas or something and fire up the troops, and he was like, I'm not going over there. No thanks. He thought, they'll probably kill me, you know, if I go there. He would have been a good target. But he was afraid to go. He thought he wouldn't go. But Krishna, he's not afraid of anybody. And when he fought against Jarasandha, not one of his soldiers was defeated or scratched even. And on the other side, every soldier on Jarasandha's army was killed. Every one of them. All the horses, elephants, animals, chariots, everything crushed. Not just crushed. It was ridiculous, actually, how badly they were slaughtered. In this story, it's described graphically how there were rivers of blood flowing. The jewels from the opposing army that had fallen from their bodies as their limbs were severed and cut were floating in the rivers of blood, just like sometimes you see a river floating and there's pebbles and there's little stones being washed along. That's what it looked like. And the hair from the heads of these valiant soldiers was waving in the water, you know, as their heads went by, and it looked like seaweed. And the bows and arrows that were all, you know, in this river of blood, they looked like snakes as they floated by, you know. And when Krishna kills somebody, he really goes at it. I mean, it's described how Krishna, Balaram was fighting there with his club, and he was just slaughtering everybody. And after the fight, of course, Jarasandha, he was captured. He wasn't killed. He was captured by Balaram, who tied him up. And then Krishna had other ideas. He said, let him go. And now, of course, that's the greatest insult to a Kshatriya, because to be captured and then let go, then you're just totally insulted. His whole army killed, every one of them. Nobody on Krishna's side even scratched. Rivers of blood, everything ruined. He's captured and then insulted by being, yeah, just go ahead, go, get out of here. go back, you know. And so he was thinking that he would go off to a village somewhere and just give up and live in obscurity, and, you know, we wouldn't talk about it, and he'd just forget about going back and being the king. But his political advisors met him halfway as he was coming back, and they said, why are you so depressed? He said, what do you think? You know, he's just totally slaughtered, wiped out. And they said, it was a fluke. You know, it was just a good day for them. And they caught you off guard. And they started telling him all these things. And all of a sudden, he started getting pumped up again. They were telling him, this is the result of bad association. You know, you go into bad association. In the material world, there's a kind of optimism that maybe I really can make it here. Maybe I can enjoy, after all. And materialist, shwavid vada hoshta karai, samstata purusha pushu, nayat karna pato peto jatu nama gadagraja. Gadagraja, Krishna is glorified by these beautiful hymns and prayers. But people who are materialistic, they don't glorify Krishna. They praise other people in the material world, who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses praise those men who don't glorify Krishna. In other words, they're finding something about this material world to be optimistic about, that there's some kind of way that I can make an adjustment here to become happy. And by associating with people like that, then, you know, we get a glimmer of hope that, yeah, maybe I can be happy too. Maybe if I just order this cassette program and listen to it, then I can also be a millionaire, and then I'll be happy. And hope springs eternal in the material world. Everyone's trying to, you know, urge everyone on that it'll be okay. And Jarasandha's ministers were like that too. They were telling him, you know, you could do it. I mean, you're a great hero. This is just a one-time thing. It happened. Go back, try again. How many times did he try again? 17 times. He kept going back, and the same result every single time. He was wiped out and completely smashed. And of course, on the 18th time, when he was on his way back, there was another group of soldiers coming from Kalyavana. He was a Mlecha king, and he had heard about Krishna, and he was feeling his oats, and he wanted to come and fight, and he thought, I'll fight this Krishna. So he entered into the village, and at the same time, Jarasandha was taking advantage that there was an opposing army coming, and then Jarasandha was coming at the same time. But with Kalyavana, what Krishna did is he walked outside the fort, and he went walking off into the battlefield, and this Kalyavana went chasing after him. So he couldn't catch him, though, because only devotees can touch Krishna. Others may run as fast as they can. Anijari kam manaso javiyo naina devap nuvam purvanarsha tadavato nyana teti tishta tashmina po matarishva dadati. The demigods, who are all powerful up there with their creating rain and everything, they can't catch him. As fast as they can run, they can't keep up with him. What to speak of Kalyavana, who was a sinful man. He couldn't catch up to Krishna. But Krishna had a plan. He went walking up into the mountains, and Kalyavana chasing after him the whole time. And he went into a cave, in this dark cave. Kalyavana chased after him, and he thought Krishna was a coward, that he was running away. So he went into the cave, and when Kalyavana got in the cave, it was kind of dark, but he saw somebody was on the ground sleeping. And so he thought, Krishna is such a coward. I'm chasing after him. He's running from the battle, and now I come into the cave, and now he's pretending to be asleep just to avoid fighting with me. I'll teach him a lesson. So he wound up, and he kicked that sleeping man who was lying on the floor as hard as he possibly could. And that person turned out not to be Krishna. And he awoke, and just by his vision, when he awoke, he burned Kalyavana to ashes. And he was looking around, this person, it was named Muchukunda. And he looked around the cave, and then he saw an effulgence coming from the cave. And he began to recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was there. And he offered his prayers. And as it turned out, Muchukunda was a great king in his own right, and he had been fighting for the demigods for many, many years. And for so long, actually, that generations of his whole family had come and gone, and whatever stake he had in the material world was pretty much just had passed him by. And the demigods offered him a benediction. At that time, he said, I just want to sleep. Give me the benediction that I can sleep as long as I want, and anybody wakes me up, that I'll have the power to burn him to ashes with my eyes. And that's what happened. And so he went in that cave by the benediction of the demigods to sleep and sleep and sleep. And he slept for eons. And then he was awoken by the arrangement of Krishna so Krishna didn't have to even personally kill Kalyavana. He arranged that Muchukunda would kill him. He had the whole thing planned out like that. So Muchukunda offered his prayers to Krishna. And he talked about how actually... He said, I think I'm a great king, but I'm subjected to so many different laws in this world, and that I'm under the control. When I go back to my kingdom, and I go and I have many wives, and I'm controlled by my wives, and I have to, be very political and say the right things, and although I'm appearing to be like a great king, actually, I'm very much controlled by everything in this world. And he offered his obeisances and surrender to Krishna. And so in this verse, Queen Kunti is remembering these wonderful pastimes that Krishna had with his devotees and how he killed so many demons. And specifically, very sweet in this is Krishna Sakha, where he's remembering that Krishna was the friend of Arjuna. And very heart-rending in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Arjuna, when he returned to meet with the Pandavas and Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he looked different when he came back from visiting Krishna, and it turned out Yudhisthira was saying, what's happened to you? You look different. You know, your face doesn't look the same. And he started giving many reasons why he might feel or look so different. And then he realized that maybe it's that your friend Krishna has left the planet. And that was the case. And after Krishna left the planet, of course, the minute that Krishna left the planet, the Kali Yuga began. And Arjuna was feeling such a deep separation from Krishna. And also, he in that instant, he realized that he had lost all of his superhuman powers. That they were, actually, he was being supported the whole time by Krishna. On his trip back, he had tried to protect some of the queens of Krishna, and he had been defeated by some, you know, ordinary types of people, like cowherd men or something like that, just some, you know, dacoits or something had overtaken him, the great Arjuna who had killed everyone on the battlefield of Kukshetra. So he then began to, he felt bereft that Krishna, you know, his friend was gone, he had lost all his powers, and then he started taking shelter of the instructions that Krishna had given him on the Bhagavad Gita, on the battlefield of Kukshetra in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, and he began feeling some solace, remembering Krishna and his instructions and so on. And so he's the friend of Arjuna, and he's the chief of the descendants of Rishni. He's a destroyer of the political parties which are disturbing elements on the earth, and his prowess never deteriorates. Krishna's the greatest hero. And all of his pastimes, Krishna is such a great hero, killing Kamsa, killing Putana, killing all these demons like Agasura and Trinavarta, even when he's a little baby, he's the greatest hero. So everyone's searching for a place where their mind can rest and take shelter. And normally, because of misinformation, we take shelter of some hero in the material world. And that's not satisfying. It comes and goes, and we have to make so many concessions for these so-called heroes. But if we take shelter of Krishna and his heroic activities, then we'll be satisfied. And Krishna actually is the protector of the devotees. And he's maintaining every living entity at all times. So we should take shelter of him. Yesterday, Satyadev Prabhu and I were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in my backyard I have this little kutir where we sit and read. And then this cat that we know very well came walking by to see if he could get in on the action, because he looked through the window at the door. His cat's name is Tyson. And so he said, "Hey, Tyson, come on in," you know. And we invited Tyson in, and we were just looking at this marvelous little creature. It's a little gray cat with big lotus eyes. It's a really nice cat, very friendly always. And the cat came in, so I was stroking Tyson, talking to him a little bit, you know, telling him we had been reading a little bit. And we were just noticing how it's like it gets cold in the wintertime, and Tyson just walks around the yard. He's not my cat. He hangs around everywhere. People just feed him and stuff. I think he belongs to somebody, but not me. But he just hangs around the yard, and when the cold winter comes, all of a sudden his coat gets thick. He didn't even think about it. He just, Krishna supplies a nice thick coat so he doesn't have to get cold, because that's, he just hangs out in the rose bushes out in the backyard, and now he doesn't have to get cold. And every time I see that, I think of how, you know, Krishna's, he's taking care of Tyson. He's taking care of every little, you know, creature in the whole world. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vididhati kaman. He's watching out for every living entity. There are his parts and parcels. And he's Yogeshwara. He's unlimitedly powerful. He can do that. He can take care of everyone. So a little cat walking around the yard just like doesn't care for anything, just gets fed here and there, right? And then when the winter comes, he doesn't have to go to Macy's. He just gets his coat just starts growing in right when the time is right. He doesn't have a closet keeping any coats up there or anything like that. Krishna just grows it in. He's made that arrangement for him. So I was thinking how, if he's taking care of Tyson, of course he's taking care of me. My mentality is, oh, I have to do make so many arrangements to take care of myself in this world. If I don't have this and that, if I don't have, you know, five different kinds of jackets and everything prepared for emergencies in this world, and you know, a stock of money in case what might happen to protect myself, right? But actually, you know, Krishna can protect us. Nobody else can protect us. We can't make some arrangement here to be protected. You can make so many arrangements. Go get a Volvo. Go buy yourself a Volvo. I saw one, and then in Los Angeles, a guy had a brand new Volvo, and he was in line at this outside the Los Angeles airport, and one of those wrecking balls got loose, and it went right through his roof and got him from above. No one ever thinks of that one. You know, you make all these plans, Volvo, I got my insurance, the whole thing, and then you're sitting there in line, and a wrecking ball comes through the top of your roof. You know, material nature get you from every side, or you have, you know, a firewall around your, you know, your assets and everything like that, and then some other thing can happen where, I don't know, Kurnath could tell us how you could lose your money that way. Trustee could steal your money. The very person that you put inside the firewall on the inside is like, hey, where's my money? It's like, oh, by the way, that guy was an alcoholic and he committed suicide. You know, these things go on all the time. It's just how the nature of the material world, there's no security here. You try to cover it from this side. Hiranyakashipu, you know, had a whole team of attorneys and they were working the whole thing out, how to cover every angle. And then it just unraveled. You know, Krishna knows his way in. So the essence of this verse is just, and this whole section of prayers, Queen Kunti, how she's just taking shelter of Krishna and realizing how so many calamities come, but that's a great excuse to take shelter of Krishna and to remember that I don't have any way to protect myself in this world. If I go to the doctor, they always tell you just come into emergency, or you know, you call the doctor and they say, yeah, come in. And then you got to sit there for hours, and then, you know, can they actually save you? No, not at all. Can you guarantee that you'll save me? No. In fact, people get more sick when they go to the hospital these days, the flesh-eating bacteria and such. It's a dangerous place to go, the hospital. And all kinds of arrangements that we make. So Krishna is our only shelter. If we take shelter of him and remember his heroic activities and hear about him and take shelter of his name, Hare Krishna, we should actually practice taking shelter of Krishna's name in dangerous situations. Whenever something happens, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Instead of, oh no, you know, these things are, whoa! But Hare Krishna, we should practice all the time, take shelter of Krishna. And remember, actually, we're not the body. We're this very subtle, subtle spirit soul within this body. And then our only protector is Krishna. And this material nature that's churning and moving and everything like that that we're a part of here, the only thing that can actually save us, protect us, or give us any kind of, you know, safety in this world is Krishna. And we can follow in the footsteps of Queen Kunti and sing these prayers out loud just to Krishna that, you know, you're the greatest hero. You're the greatest friend. You're the greatest protector. Let me take shelter of you. And so this is the essence of this hearing and chanting, is to hear about his heroic activities, hear about his loving ways with his devotees, and just take shelter of him as much as possible. And whatever problems, situations we have in this life too, you know, the clock's running out anyway. If we can hang in there long enough, you know, like they do in football, just run out the clock. Punt and pray for rain. No, just, you know, let the little clock management, you know, stay in Krishna consciousness and let the clock run out. And after a while, this is appropriate because it's Super Bowl weekend to use these metaphors. So if we run out the clock and take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will protect us. He'll take us back home, back to God. And so this is the occupation of the devotees, that somehow or other, one way or another, stay in contact with Krishna in this lifetime. We all have very different situations that we're in according to our past. And now we're in this situation now, whatever it is, different bank accounts, different associations with different kinds of family, different mentality. That's come set. You can't change that. But the thing you can change is where you take shelter. And that is to take shelter of Krishna all the time and practice taking shelter of Krishna. Because at the time of death, we'll really, really need to be in that mentality. And all these things, bhajan koi, sadhan koi, murtli janlari hoi, that all our sadhan and all our bhajan will actually be tested at the time of death, of how much we're able to take shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And that's the essence of that mantra. We should cry out like that all the time to take shelter of Krishna. Hari Bol, Om Tat Sat. Devotee Appreciation Day, Ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Venkatesh Prabhu Ki.
Jai.
So, did anybody want to tack on any extra realization or comment before we move on to our next program? Yes, Narahari Prabhu.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's mentioned she's the chief of... Krishna is addressed as the chief among the descendants of Rishni. Who is Rishni?
Let's have Akurnath answer this.
I always go, when I have these questions, in the ninth canto, Bhagavatam, there's a table of all the descendants, genealogical table, and they show all who's who. But I don't know exactly which generation that Rishni was in, but I'm trying to think of, do we have a ninth canto there? We can just look at it. Because you can keep it, who are the Bhojas, who are the Vrishnis, who are the Yadus. Of course, Krishna's family is the Yadus. There were these different, Puru and Yayati, all the kings we're reading about in here. So you can see here, this is a good resource. This is the dynasty of Puru. This is the descendants of Pururava. So, Devaki is here. Wait. How come the Devaki is here?
Let's do a... we'll do a little research afterwards.
Yeah.
And then...
Rishi was the father of Shwapalka and Chitrarata. And then, we can do the research afterwards because there's another Rishi here. There's two Rishis. So.
Just shoot us out a short essay paragraph about it.
Okay.
You could post it to the Bhagavad Gita group.
Okay.
Which, by the way, we're starting to post some frequently asked questions answers. I don't know if any of you saw that. Did you see it? I put on one about the disciple succession and one about why Bhagavad Gita as it is, everything seems to be translated in relationship to bhakti. Sometimes that's a frequently asked question. And then Akurnath Prabhu can post this as a file on there too, and we'll keep those going. Okay, yes. Dave Sheet Prabhu.
How do you get added to that list, to the Bhagavad Gita list?
Could you speak in the microphone?
How do you get added to the Gita list?
You're not on the Gita list?
Oh.
Wow. We'll get you on there. Just send me an email and I'll put you on. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.